For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKateGreen.com. Treating your inner critic like a bad habit. Judson Brewer says, no matter what you name it, if you want to change it, you have to rub your brain's little orbitofrontal cortex nose in its own poop so that it clearly smells how stinky it is. That's how your brain learns. Behavior doesn't change if the reward value of that behavior stays the same. We all have healthy inner critics that help us recognize where we've gone wrong and what we need to do to set things right. But if you're like me, your inner critic goes way overboard. Scolding, shaming, nitpicking, fault finding. It's no wonder that we believe there's something wrong with us. So let's do a little experiment and take a moment to just reflect on your good qualities. So you may choose to close your eyes, you're welcome to leave them open, but just think about your good qualities. As you're thinking about your good qualities, simply notice whether your inner critic jumps in and tells you you're not really that good. When your inner critic jumps in, just see if you can shift the focus of your attention back to your good qualities. We can redirect our attention when we want to. So when our inner critic jumps in and ridicules any attempt to look at the bright side of things, our normal pattern is to just go with what the inner critic's saying and continue on the negative. We often don't stop and say, wait a minute, there are some positives, there are some good things about me. And because of that, our inner critic encourages imposter syndrome, that sense of feeling fake, with an accompanying worry that people are going to find out we're not really that good. Because our inner critic could make Einstein look dumb and Mother Teresa look selfish. Hal and Sidra Stone say, it's your critic who feels you are rotten to the core. It's your critic who feels you must never let anyone know who or what you are because you are a mistake. You are a flawed and evil, possibly even dangerous creature. It is your critic who fears that others will find you disgusting and possibly horrifying and that they will hurt or reject you. Now, we can't make our inner critic go away totally. But we can reduce the power it holds over us. And one of the ways I've been exploring to do this is using the three gears of habit change, as we talked about last week from Judson Brewer's book, Unwinding Anxiety. And those three gears are mapping your mind, updating your brain's reward value, and finding the bigger, better offer. So when we're talking about mapping your mind, we need to intellectually know where our inner critic comes from. It represents all the critical, disappointed voices from our childhood. The inner critic did play a role in our childhood to allow us to control the more wayward forces we had of anger, rage, greed, and selfishness. And it did so often by using shame. The inner critic, in that way, did keep us safe and secure because it kept us from unskillful actions that would cause us to be rejected by our family or our community. We invite our inner critic when we hold ourselves to a high standard of perfection. When we fail to meet that impossibly high standard, you hear the same words repeatedly. I'm not good enough. How could I be so dumb? I never get it right. And when we believe what our inner critic says, we can waste our whole life trying to prove ourselves to the world. I've spent years and years trying to prove myself to the world. We hunger for approval from others so we can feel better about ourselves. But for most of us, our inner critic has really lived beyond its sell-by date. We no longer need that harsh voice haranguing us at every turn, because we can employ reason, reflection, and compassion to navigate the challenges of our life. We need to be able to recognize the inner critic. It's got a harsh and demeaning tone. When your critic's in control, you might notice that your voice gets higher, you talk faster and louder. You may notice your heart is racing or you're breathing faster. If you scan your body, you're likely to feel contraction or tension. And that's why at the beginning of every meditation, we always kind of do a mini body scan to let go of some of that tension. You'll also recognize the message of your inner critic. It might be saying, you have no business doing that. Or you should be perfect at all times. Normal people wouldn't do this. Or you only have problems because you're bad. There's something wrong with you. Each of us have an inner critic who tells the same story or stories over and over. So if we can become aware of our inner critic haranguing us, we can ask the questions Judson Brewer suggests. Why am I doing this? What triggered the behavior? What reward am I really getting from this? And do I want to keep doing this? And my guess is that each and every one of us would answer, do I want to keep doing this, meaning letting my inner critic demean and criticize me. Our answer would be, no, I don't want to keep doing this. But the reward value in our brain is there, and that's why that behavior keeps happening again and again. So if we look at the behavior, and remember, habits have three components, the trigger, the behavior, and the reward. The trigger might be you made a mistake. You did something wrong. You forgot to do something. You got in an accident, you dropped something, you didn't do something someone asked you to, whatever your trigger might be. The behavior is your inner critic berating you, saying, you're not good enough, or how could you be so dumb, or whatever it is that your inner critic likes to say to you. And the reward that we think is that I'm going to criticize myself before someone else criticizes me. So that's keeping me safe from criticism by criticizing myself. Or the reward might be that that harsh voice is going to motivate me to do better, even though research shows that's not the case. So we have this reward in our head. And I think it comes from getting yelled at when we were a kid. Whenever we did something wrong, we got yelled at by our parents or our teachers or our friends. And so we feel like the only way to get better is to yell at ourselves. And that's why our inner critic is so strong. So if we want to change our inner critic's behavior and give it less power over us, we have to change the reward value in our brain. The inner critic's going to keep haranguing us as long as our brain feels there's a reward for that behavior. Fighting the inner critic doesn't quiet it. I'm sure each and every one of you has tried fighting the inner critic, saying, shut up, leave me alone, whatever. But the inner critic just keeps coming back over and over again. And sometimes we feel like we deserve to be berated. But in reality, we made a mistake and we deserve to be corrected, not berated. So you can't just use grit to silence your inner critic, just like you can't use grit to get rid of a bad habit. You need to change the reward value in your orbital frontal cortex. So let's look at that same example. You made a mistake. Your inner critic starts berating you. That's the behavior. I'm not good enough. How could I be so dumb? And the perceived reward value, notice I say perceived, and it might, maybe it used to be the reward value, but maybe it still isn't, is if I criticize myself, then others won't have to criticize me. Or the harsh voice will motivate me to do better. But if we think about it, the actual rewards that we get from berating ourselves are really a distorted view of who we are, allowing us to feel like we're rotten to the core. It encourages us to give up control. You'll never be good enough, so why bother? Or our body contracts, so we can't see all the possibilities. We see the problems, but we can't see any solutions because we're so contracted. And so what we want to do is train our orbital frontal cortex to say that there are negative rewards for the inner critic's behavior. And so that's part of it, is we update the reward value. It's really not a positive reward that we get by having our inner critic berate us or demean us. It's a negative reward. And we can't just say it one time. We have to say it a number of times before the occipital frontal cortex will actually update the reward value. And so we can do that by paying close attention when we let our inner critic take over to how we feel afterwards, and paying attention to that. We can also experiment with talking to ourselves in useful ways, because we want to replace that behavior of demeaning and berating ourselves with coaching ourselves and giving ourselves constructive criticism. So we want to learn to talk to ourselves in useful ways. And if we want those to become a habit, we also have to pay attention to what the reward value of that is. So you might say, when the inner critic starts talking, you might flip the switch. And we learned by our little experiment before that when your inner critic starts talking, you can change your focus of attention. So we can change it to say, this criticism has a grain of truth in it, but everything else is exaggerated or untrue, so that we're not in the habit of believing the negative things our inner critic's saying. Or, this is what so-and-so used to tell me. It was wrong then, and it's wrong now. Or maybe we say, this is not helping me, and I don't have to listen to it. Or, I made a mistake, and I will do better next time. I don't have to beat myself up over and over. Just, I made a mistake, and I'll do better next time. Because remember, you are allowed to make mistakes, just like every other person in the world makes mistakes. It doesn't make you less worthy, and it doesn't make you dumb. One way to get past all that negative conditioning is to actively develop self-compassion by learning to accept yourself and to be a good friend to yourself. Compassion is really the best antidote to the inner critic's poison. And if we stop and pay attention to the reward value, the positive or negative reward value that comes from talking to ourselves in a useful or self-compassionate way, we'll find that there is a positive reward for doing that. And then we can compare it with the reward that comes from your inner critic berating you and demeaning you. And so what do you want to be watching out for as you're trying to update this reward value? What are you focusing your attention on to feel that whether or not it's a positive or negative reward? Would be things like, does the way I talk to myself make me lash out? If it does, it's probably a negative reward. Or does the way I talk to myself make me close up? Again, probably another sign that it's negative reward value. Does the reaction I have move me toward the future self I want to be? A positive reward. Or does it move me to something I'm going to regret? A negative reward. Does the way I talk to myself allow me to see my inner goodness? A positive reward. Or does it encourage me to give up because I'm no good? Another negative reward. So paying attention as you're listening to your inner critic and not blindly believing it, but first making yourself aware and then paying attention to the result of what your inner critic's saying. Is it helpful or is it not? And doing that over and over so you can update the reward value in your orbital frontal cortex. You don't do this once and your inner critic becomes quiet. Because your inner critic's been telling untrue stories for many years. You've dug a really deep groove in those neural pathways. Your brain believed those stories because it thought it benefited you to believe those stories. So if you want to take those stories off of your top 10 list, you have to provide your brain with a bigger, better offer. A reason to replace the story with a more accurate one. And you must do it over and over each time the untrue story arises. Judson Brewer says, awareness helps you get up to date and accurate information so that you can trust the new data that are coming in rather than dismissing them as erroneous. You can probably see the irony here. Old habitual behaviors are based on outdated data, yet because they are old, they are familiar. And because they are familiar, we trust them. Change is scary. So it's real easy for us when we're looking at what we're good at and our inner critic says we're not really that good to just fall back and say, yeah, I guess I'm not, and to believe it. It's really a lot harder to say, yes, I really am good at this, or this is a strength of mine. So we need to find a bigger, better offer so that we can replace that unproductive behavior of our inner critic with the skillful behavior of an inner nurturer, inner coach. So we're not just substituting a different behavior, but we're experimenting with how we talk to ourselves and seeing if talking to ourselves in a self-compassionate way is going to provide a bigger reward than talking to ourselves in a negative, berating way. Because research shows self-compassion is strongly linked to well-being. It brings a reduction in anxiety, depression, stress, perfectionism, shame, body dissatisfaction, and disordered eating. All of those are probably reward values that would rank highly in your occipital frontal cortex. Self-compassion is linked to more life satisfaction, more happiness, more optimism. Again, more rewards for your occipital cortex. Thus, it's a powerful way to achieve emotional well-being and contentment in our lives. If we give ourselves unconditional kindness and comfort while embracing our difficulties, we avoid the destructive patterns of fear, negativity, and isolation. Fear, negativity, and isolation are pretty negative reward values that we've been ignoring, but are the result of letting our inner critic continually harangue us. So just like with habits, just reading about the research doesn't change the reward value in our occipital cortex. We actually have to experience the rewards repeatedly in order for our brains to update the reward value. So we know our healthy inner critic helps us know where we've gone wrong and what we need to do to set it right. But we also know that for most people, our inner critic goes way overboard, throwing dart after dart of scolding, shaming, nitpicking, and fault-finding. So no wonder we believe something's wrong with us. But if we can throw away our inner critic's rawhide whip, the unskillful way it talks to us, and instead wrap the blanket of self-compassion around our shoulders, we'll find that we are going to be much better able to handle life's ups and life's downs.